ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the sixth canto, second chapter, text 23 and 24. अजामिलोप्यथा कर्ण्या दूतानां यमकृष्णयोः धर्मं भागवतं शुद्धं त्रैवेद्यं च गुणाश्रयं भक्तिमान् भगवत्याशु माहात्म्यश्रवणाधरे अनुताप महानासीत् स्मरतो शुभमात्मनः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की। आफ्टर हियरिंग द डिस्कोर्सेस बिटवीन द यमदूतास एंड द विष्णुदूतास, अजामिल कुड अंडरस्टैंड रिलीजियस प्रिंसिपल्स दैट एक्ट अंडर द थ्री मोड्स ऑफ मटीरियल नेचर. These principles are mentioned in the three Vedas. He could also understand that transcendental religious principles, which are above the modes of material nature and which concern the relationship between the living being and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Furthermore, Ajamil heard a glorification of the name, fame, qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He thus became a perfectly pure devotee. He could then remember his past sinful activities, which he greatly regretted having performed. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, 45th verse, 2nd chapter, Lord Krishna told Arjuna, Nistray gunya vishaya veda, nistray gunyo bhava Arjuna, nirdvandvo nitya satvastho, niryoga kshema atmavan. The Vedas mainly deal with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna. Be transcendental to all of them. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self. The Vedic principles certainly prescribe a gradual process for rising in the spiritual platform, but if one remains attached to the Vedic principles, there is no chance of his being elevated to spiritual life. Krishna therefore advised Arjuna to perform devotional service, which is the process of transcendental religion. The transcendental position of devotional service is also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktira dokshaje. Bhakti, devotional service, is paro dharma, transcendental dharma. It is not material dharma. People generally think that religion should be pursued for material profit. This may be suitable for persons interested in material life. But one who is interested in spiritual life should be attached to parodharmaha, the religious principles by which one becomes a devotee of the Supreme Lord. Yato bhaktir adokshaje. The Bhagavata religion teaches that the Lord and the living entity are eternally related and that the duty of a living entity is to surrender to the Lord. When one is situated on the platform of devotional service, one is freed from impediments and completely satisfied. Ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. Having been elevated to that platform, Ajamil began to lament for his past materialistic activities and glorify the name, fame, form and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation. After hearing the discourses between the Yamdutas and the Vishnudutas, Ajamil could understand the religious principles that act under the three modes of nature. These principles, Hare Krishna. So at the outset, I would like to beg the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially the senior devotees. I am highly unqualified materially and spiritually to speak on this subject matter. But for my own purification and because there's instruction, I would like to render this service. So I would request the devotees to kindly accept. So Ajamil is in that situation when he is seeing the dialogue between the Vishnudutas and the Yamdutas. And at that time, he realizes his mistake. And he becomes purified after hearing the words of the Vishnu Dutas. And he starts lamenting over his past sinful activities. So he could understand, Prabhupada says here, two kinds of knowledge. That knowledge which is within the modes and the other knowledge which is beyond the modes. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a mention of two kinds of knowledge, paravidya and aparavidya. So the Vedas contain these two kinds of knowledge, paravidya and aparavidya. That knowledge which is within the modes of nature, which constitute 99% of the Vedic literatures, and paravidya, which is transcendental knowledge, that is devotional service unto Lord Krishna. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that how Krishna had told Arjuna to reject the Vedic literatures. Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhava Arjuna Nirdvandva Nitya Sattvasto Niryogakshema Matmava. That Vedas should, you know, you transcend them. They are basically containing all these three modes of nature, information about them. So reject the Vedas, Krishna is telling Arjuna. So now, we generally take courses, the six-session courses, and we say that how Vedas are so important. Follow the Vedas. Vedas are the manual for existence in this world. And we give various examples and saying that how when we have to live this world, how when you're using an instrument, you should, you know, use the manual, and Vedas are compared to manual. So one amongst the audience can raise their hand and say, hello, excuse me, in the second chapter, 45th verse, Krishna has told us to Arjuna to reject the Vedas. So why are you telling us to accept the Vedas? So that question may arise. So what is the difference between such kind of audience, or we can say 99% of the people today who are actually not following the Vedas and who have rejected the Vedas, and Arjuna who is actually being told, instructed to reject the Vedas? Is there a difference? Why has it been said that reject the Vedas? So when we can understand that when Krishna is saying reject the Vedas, Krishna is telling to reject the karmakanda sections of the Vedas, which contain sacrifices and that part of the Vedas which are aparavidya, which are actually meant for elevation to higher planetary systems for sense gratification, etc., etc., for superior sense enjoyment, basically. So what to speak of those people who are actually stooped in sense gratification? The idea is to win the Vedas are told to be rejected. It is for a higher principle, is to take up to spiritual life, which is beyond. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita it is said, Traividya Vishaya Veda. It is said, Tetam Bhuktva Swarga Lokam Vishalam. He says that the Vedas are containing information about the three modes of nature. And how when Shine Punne Martya Lokam Vishanti, when one attains to the spiritual world, to the material world, then again he has to come back. He does not attain the spiritual world, so he becomes again entangled. So Krishna says it has to be rejected. Gata gatam kama kama labhante. That the people who follow the Vedic literatures for sense gratification, they go to the heavenly planets and they come back, and Krishna says gata gatam. It is like going and coming, going and coming. They have to go back, come back, go to up, come down. That is what is going on in this world. So Krishna is telling you, give up this coming and going business, this temporary business or going up and down for sense gratification, and you take up to the spiritual life, where once you go, you never return. Yad gatva nanavartante tad dhama paramam mama. When you achieve that abode, then you will never come back. That is the spiritual abode, the abode of Lord Krishna. So till we have not achieved that standard of rejecting the Vedas to accept something higher, it is advisable that the common people should follow the Vedic literatures. Because the Vedic literatures contain injunctions which when followed according to one's prescribed duties, then one achieves the state of Nishkam Karma Yoga. Prabhupada says in the 7th canto, 11th chapter, entitled The Perfect Society, there's a verse which says that how when a person follows his regulative, his prescribed duties perfectly, then he eventually becomes purified and he comes to the stage of Nishkam Karma Yoga, where he becomes detached from his fruits of his work and starts rendering transcendental devotional service to the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So the prescribed duties is very important, which are mentioned in the Veda. They should not be rejected. So we see in the life of great devotees also, like Dhruva Maharaj. When Dhruva Maharaj had lived his life 36,000 years ruling the planet, and he was endowed with perfect senses, he would never grow old, he was benedicted by the Lord, and he ruled over performing yajnic sacrifices perfectly, not for his own personal sense gratification or for being elevated to the heavenly planets, but he did it for the welfare of the spiritual benefit of the people. He did it for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even when he left his kingdom after 36,000 years to go to Badrik Ashram, he went to Badrik Ashram, and there he performed tapasya, and he performed Ashtang Yoga. So to explain that, when Dhruva Maharaj was performing Ashtang Yoga, it was very easy for him, because as a child, you know, just as when he was 5 years old, he had already performed the Ashtang Yoga and he had perfected his life. So at that time, for him to practice Ashtang Yoga was very easy. So when he was practicing and he was following Dhyana, Dharana, Samadhi, very soon he achieved purification. And at that time, he received the darshan of the Lord. His body changed color, it became golden. All the ashtavikar, all the 8 symptoms of ecstasy started manifesting in his body. And when that happened, he could see in the horizon, he could see the Vaikuntha Viman coming down from the sky. And he could see 2 personalities, Nanda and Sunanda, who were boarded on that aircraft, and they had come down. And they requested Dhruva Maharaj to please come and board the aircraft because he was a worthy candidate. So when Dhruva Maharaj, he was such requested, what did Dhruva Maharaj do is interesting. Dhruva Maharaj, he immediately went and he took a bath and he put tilak all over his body, 12 parts of his body, and he followed all the etiquettes properly, and he also took blessings from all the assembled devotees. So he was very diligent in following all the rules and regulations, and Prabhupada mentions there that even though Dhruva Maharaj was a liberated soul for that matter, he had already got the return ticket back home, back to Godhead, confirmation, but still he was so meticulous in following the rules and regulations of the Shastras or the Vedas. And moreover, he was manifesting such great humility that even though he was liberated, he was on his way back home, he was taking the blessings of the assembled Vaishnavas, for blessings. He didn't think that, I'm going on my way back. Y'all are yet conditioned souls. And why I should take your blessings? In fact, y'all should be taking my blessings. But he was thinking that actually it is only because of the mercy of these assembled devotees with whom I'm actually practicing Krishna consciousness, I'm able to go back home. I've received the great fortune of going back home, back to Godhead. So from the life of Dhruva Maharaj and from various acharyas, we can know that how actually the Vedas are not to be rejected. They have to be accepted and followed till we come to the platform of giving that up and coming to a higher principle of accepting devotional service. Therefore it is said, Tasma Shastram Brahmanam Te Karya Karya Vivastito Nyatva Shastram Vidanoktam Karyam Kartum Iharhasi. So Krishna is saying, Tasma Shastram Pramanam te karya karya vivastu sito, that you must follow the Shastras and you must know what is Nyatva Shastram Vidhanoktam, that what are the vidhis of the Shastras one must know, and karyam kartum iharasi, and one must do the work accordingly. So basically, we can understand that this Nistraigunya verse is for those people who are already following the Vedas properly, and for them to rise higher. For example, Buddha preached, reject the Vedas, And we see that even Krishna's preaching reject the Vedas. So when Buddha preached, why did he preach? Because people were engaged in sense gratification. They were using the Vedas for conducting animal sacrifices. So when he preached, give it up, he was preaching so that you rise above and at least come to the platform of ahimsa, a higher principle. From gross sense gratification to a higher principle of, okay, ahimsa, which is a little higher principle than. And when Krishna is preaching, you reject the Vedas, he's saying from the platform of pure devotional service. Accept the topmost, paro dharma, yato bhaktir dokshaje, he's telling, surrender unto me, sarva dharman marityaja, mam ekam sharanam raja. So, otherwise it is just gata gatam, kama kama labhante. Just you keep coming, going in this material world, just because we are interested in sense gratification. We will get sense gratification. And in the next verse I was reading, for which actually I prepared, and I made a mistake actually, where Prabhupada writes about how in the Vedic times there was the system of seeing horoscopes and how a Brahman would get married to a Brahman and a Kshatriya would to a Kshatriya. But these days, because people are not following those things, you know, you see that there are so many divorces in the marriages and etc. You know, so therefore people don't know, they're so foolish that they don't know what is for their benefit. So we see that the Vedas contain information for sense gratification also. But if one accepts the Vedas and performs sense gratification according to the rules and regulations of the Vedas, then actually he can become properly happy. But the problem is that they've rejected the Vedas and they are miserable. You see, they're not happy. That's why you see most of the marriages are ending in divorce. Because they're not following the rules and regulations of the Shastras. So it is just sense gratification without the Shastras and Gata Gatam. You just have to come and go. So therefore Lochandas Thakur says, He no avatare yadi ratina janmilo Lochan bole sei papi elo aragelo. So he's saying that for such persons who have not really established the relationship with this most merciful incarnation of God Nithai, for him it is useless because he's just come and gone. Ayaram Gayaram, like that. He's just come and he's gone. And he's not fulfilled the purpose of life, that is self-realization. That is attaining the higher principle of devotional service to Krishna. So we see that this Nistraigunya is for those people who are, and we see that when Srila Prabhupada, he went to the West, he was many times criticized. For a sannyasi to go beyond the ocean, seven seas, it is highly condemned in the Shastras. But Srila Prabhupada went. And we see there are so many controversies that people started condemning. In the Dhruva section, it is mentioned that when Dhruva was in the forest and Narad Muni came there and started telling Dhruva Maharaj the rules and regulations, how he should be performing his meditation. He was telling him the rules and regulations. So Dhruva Maharaj, he very meticulously started following. But Narad Muni made a very important statement that when you worship the deity form made out of earth, etc., you should do that worship taking into consideration the time, place and circumstance. So Srila Prabhupada, he makes a very important statement that devotional service, the rules and regulations have to be applied according to the time, place and circumstances. So therefore there is no stereotyped way of actually doing deity worship. Which actually means, Prabhupada says, there is no one particular way. It can differ from place to place, depending upon time, place and circumstance. So not knowing this principle, Srila Prabhupada was criticized when he went to the West. Oh, how can a sannyasi cross the ocean? And Srila Prabhupada conducted marriages of his disciples. Now, according to the Vedas, a sannyasi has got nothing to do with marriage. But Srila Prabhupada was conducting marriages of his disciples. And he was giving Brahmin initiation to women. So all these were being highly criticized in the society. But we can know that Srila Prabhupada was following a higher principle. He was trying, because the disciples at that time were so much dependent on Srila Prabhupada for everything practically. They had no knowledge whatsoever of spiritual knowledge, of Vedic rules and regulations. So how could Prabhupada educate these people? It's only if Prabhupada would take up the role of being an instructor for the purpose of elevating them in Krishna consciousness. Like once Malati Mataji was telling this pastime of how the disciples had assembled for initiation and they didn't absolutely know any rules and regulations. And Srila Prabhupada, after the, he told that you should get some fruits and for the yajna. So they brought the fruits. And Prabhupada said, okay, you must get some ghee. So devotees thought, ghee is so expensive, let us get margarine. Something, you know. They thought that they can save money. And they started putting margarine in the sacrifice, fire sacrifice. And it was, you know, so much of smoke was coming out of it. And later on, people sat for the yajna, they started peeling the bananas and thought, what is this banana? Let us eat it ourselves. Probably it's meant for our eating. And started eating the bananas instead of offering as yajna. And then another instance where, you know, Prabhupada told them that, okay, after the yajna, now please bow down. And they never knew actually what they have to do. So they heard blow down. So they started blowing on the yajnic fire. They started blowing on it, thinking that, you know, probably that's what we should be doing, you know. So they had practically no knowledge about what was the Vedic custom, Vedic culture. These days we see that after the yajna is performed, all the disciples get together and they clean up the thing. But they didn't know anything. After the yajna, after the initiation was performed, they quietly packed up and went home, leaving Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, to clear up the whole thing, yajna and all those things, himself, personally. They didn't know that the service has to be rendered to the spiritual master. It is we who are actually benefited by receiving initiation. We should render these service. These principles were not known. So if these things were not taught to them, how would they have been elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness? So when these things are not known, people, they criticize. They think, just see, he has broken the Vedic injunctions. But Srila Prabhupada knew the principle and he was following it perfectly. So the Vedas, if they are rejected, they have to be followed for accepting a higher principle. Otherwise, they should not be rejected. So, how to become Nistray Gunyo is a very important principle. Now, how to become? Now, we have to transcend these modes. Another pastime comes to my mind about, you know, establishing Jagannath deities in the West. It's told that in America, when the first time the installation was done, then Prabhupada instructed the disciples that now you do aarti. And all the disciples were given candles to do aarti, it seems. And so they asked Prabhupada that how long should we do aarti? Prabhupada said, as long as your hand pains. Just keep on moving it. So how ignorant they were of the principles. And after some days, Prabhupada, when he came for taking darshan of the deity of Lord Jagannath, they found that Jagannath, Baldev Subhadra, was missing from the altar. Prabhupada inquired, where are the deities? And devotee said, we took the deities to the beach for a stroll. Just wanted to give a break. They may be getting bored sitting in the altar, so we took them to the beach. So Prabhupada informed them, no, that is not true. That's not what you are supposed to do with Lord Jagannath. He only goes out once in a year on Jagannath Rath Cart festival. And that's how the Rath Cart festival started off. So the thing is, if Prabhupada would not have taken that position, so only the Acharya knows what is the principle to be followed and how we must actually implement these principles of the Vedas according to time, place and circumstance. Another criticisms on Prabhupada was, you started deity worship, you are making non-Hindus into Vaishnavas. Where is it written in the Shastras? They say like that. In the West, Ganga is not available, Prabhupada says. They criticize that Ganga is not there in the West. Yamuna does not flow in the West. So Prabhupada's argument is that means that deity should not be worshipped in the West. That's not the principle. So in the Dhruva Maharaj section, it is said that Dhruva Maharaj was told that you worship using the Ganges water, but if it's not available, then you use anything, whatever is available. Principle is that deity must be worshipped. Devotion has to be established. And depending upon the acharyas establishes. So, when a person criticizes such kind of activities, not knowing for what he is actually doing these things, then a person actually falls down from spiritual life. And one criticizes without knowing what is the principle that he's following. So, it is said in the Shastras that one has to become transcendental. And how can one become transcendental? Said, Nivritta Tarsher Upagiyamanat भवौषधा श्रोत्र मनोविरामात् क उत्तम श्लोक गुणानुवादात् पुमान विरज्येत विना पशुघ्नात् दैट निवृत्त तर्षेर उपगीयमानात्. Shukadev Goswami is telling Parikshit that Nivritta Tarshirs, those people who are free from Trishna, material desires, they can actually hear the transcendental message of the Lord. Nivritta Tarshir Upagiyamana. Now, who are Nivritta Tarshirs? Are those, it can also mean those people who are actually free from material desires, which can mean impersonalists also. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes that because this verse has been composed in the present tense, Upagiyamana, it is referring to the devotees who are listening to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna at that particular time. It is referring to those devotees only. Nivritta Tarshir, Upagiyamana, Bhavaushada Chotra Menom Viramat. That it is Bhavaushadi. What is a Bhavaushadi? It is like a medicine. Now, generally, when a person gets sick, he takes medicine in order to become free from the disease. But generally, medicines are bitter. But here it said, Bhavaushadi Chotra Mano Bhiramat, that this medicine is very sweet. Abhira Mano Abhiramat, it's giving very lot of pleasure to the heart, to the mind. Bhavaushadi Chotra Mano Bhiramat. Ka Uttama Shloka Gunanuvadat. And what is that description of the transcendental qualities, form, and pastimes of the Lord? And who is a person who cannot chant the glories of the Lord? Pashugnath, the person who is a killer of his own soul. Or in other words, the acharyas explain, those people, Pashugnath means a person who kills animals. He cannot actually hear the transcendental message of the Lord. Now, in the Vedas it is mentioned that those people who kill animals are those people who do, you know, Vedic sacrifices. So why do they do Vedic sacrifices? To attain higher planets. For enjoyment. So that means those who are Pashugnas are those who are having very strong desire in the heart to enjoy this material world. So therefore, such people who got a very strong desire cannot actually hear or have the patience or have the tolerance to sit through a Bhagavatam discourse. So therefore, it is said that one has to become free, Nivritta Darshir, by hearing to the transcendental pastimes. So this eagerness must be observed for hearing the pastimes of the Lord, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the pastime of Jagannath, where he was went to the temple to observe, take darshan of the Lord. So he was standing, you know, behind the Ugra Stambha, that Garuda Stambha, sorry. And he was taking darshan. And at that time, a lady, old lady, she came there in order to take darshan of the Lord. So she couldn't get the darshan. So she actually climbed over Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's shoulders. And at that time, Govinda, when he saw what great offense was being committed, he told his lady, please get off, you are standing on the Lord's shoulders. Supreme Personality of Godhead's shoulders you are standing. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that this person, Govinda, is making this lady get off, he referred to him as an Adivasi. Adivasi, you keep quiet. Can't you see that this lady is having such eagerness to take darshan of the Lord? If only I had that eagerness, my life would have been successful. So we see now again in this principle of following the essence. Now Govinda knew the topmost religious principle. He was a pure devotee, but he's calling him Adivasi. Why? Because he wanted to instruct him that what is important is the principle of eagerness. How we must all have eagerness to hear the transcendental message of the Lord. So in the Shastra it is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself that how by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly we can become free from the... But someone may say, but the Bhagavatam is also Vedic literatures. But it is said that the Bhagavatam is Nirmat Saranam Satam. That the Bhagavatam is Dharma Projit Kaita Votra Paramo Nirmat Satam, Nirmat Saranam Satam. That it is meant for those people who are actually free from envy, those who are non-envious. So who can be non-envious? Those who are Paramhamsas. Those who are not of this world. Those who are transcendental. So Bhagavatam is a transcendental literature meant for transcendental personalities. And Bhagavatam is actually that Vedic literature which contains pure devotional service. Knowledge beyond the modes. Therefore, it is said in the history that Vyasadeva, when he composed all the Vedic literatures, he was actually, you know, very despondent. And Vyasadeva came to him and, Narad Muni, his spiritual master, came to Vyasadeva and asked him that, what is the cause of your distress? Why are you lamenting? So he said, I'm not feeling satisfaction. I composed all these Vedic literatures, but still I'm not satisfied. So then Narad Muni told him that you have written the Vedas, no doubt, as a phenomenal task, but you have not sufficiently glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now you compose a Vedic literature, which is extolling the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he composed the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is pure transcendental knowledge, beyond the modes of material nature. So then when he composed Srimad Bhagavatam, then he was completely satisfied. So this is the proof. So in the first canto, second chapter, it is said, Yad anudhyasina yuktah karma granthi nibandhanam chindanti kovidastasya kona kuryat katharathim. That by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, karma granthi nibandhanat, that the attachment or the bondage of karma is completely cut. So if the karmic reactions are cut, one is liberated. So Shastra says, Bhagavatam says that, who is the person who is not interested in his self-development? You should be actually taking interest in this. So, kona kuriyat katharatim, who is that person who is not taking interest in hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam? And the next verse goes, shushru shro shraddha dhanasya vasudeva katharuchi mahat syan mahat sevaya vipra punya tirthani shevanat. Shushushro shraddha dhanasya vasudeva katharuchi. Now one may say, okay, now I am not interested in hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, what to do? I don't have taste for hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, what can I do? So the Bhagavatam gives a solution for that. It says, okay, you don't have taste, then you serve. Syan mahat sevaya vipra punya tirthani shevanat. As you see in the pastime of Narad Muni, when he served the Bhakti Vedantas, you know the pastime, that how he developed taste for hearing from the Bhakti Vedantas. So it's like that service is the key. Just like from childhood, we have all been serving our bodies. At least I myself have been serving my body. So development of attachment for the body is there. We give bhoga to the body. We give snanam to the body. Comb our hair and take so much of care for all this body. So there's attachment for the body. So now when we serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the devotees, then we develop attachment for the devotees. We develop attachment for the Lord. That is the principle of just developing the service attitude towards them. So, syan mahat seva vipraha punya tirtha nishevanat. And then you become purified. And then what happens? It's explained. Shrinvata swakatha krishna punya tirtha nishevanat. Punya shravana kirtanaha ridayantastva badrani vidhunoti suratsatam. Then Krishna, who is seated within the heart, actually does the cleansing of the heart of all the abhadras, all the unwanted things. And hridyantastva abhadrani, all the unwanted things in the heart becomes destroyed. And pure devotional service becomes established, which is explained in the next verse. Nashta prayesha bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati nashtaki. That it is said that all the abhadra, nashta prayesha bhadreshu, all the unwanted things which are within the heart, all the misgivings are destroyed in the heart. And nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. And then devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes established within the heart as an irrevocable fact. That is important. So anyone who is aspiring happiness in this world must take to this process. Anyone who is looking for happiness must take to this process. It's in everyone's self-interest. Just like when we are going in a, when you're going to take rest in the night, you know, you think that, okay, and we put up the mosquito nets, and you keep the mosquito net open, and we are going to take rest inside. And along with us, 5-6 mosquitoes also enter inside the mosquito net. And we close the mosquito net, and think we'll have a peaceful night's sleep now, no problem. But the mosquitoes who are within the net are not going to give us any peace. They're going to constantly throughout the night keep on biting us. Isn't it? So these mosquitoes can be compared to the anarthas which are seated within our hearts. We cannot actually experience pure bliss if we are not free from these mosquito-like anarthas within our hearts. So it is very essential to first get rid of those anarthas, and then we can actually have the right to experience happiness or demand true happiness. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that purification. Purification is necessary in order to become to the platform of happiness. Before that, we cannot demand any satisfaction and happiness because our hearts are so dirty. Therefore, what is said, tapo divyam putrakayana sattvam shuddhe tasmat brahma saukhyam tvanantam. Therefore, one has to undergo tapasya for removing those anarthas within the heart. And it is said, tada rajas tamo bhava, next verse, kama lobhadasche chet eter anavidham sitam sattve prasidati. And gradually, the three modes of nature, tada rajas tamo, all these kind of influences actually become reduced and one transcends and comes to the platform of sattvagun, where one actually experiences happiness and bliss. And at that time, all his evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogadah bhagavad bhakti vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. At that time, his mind becomes completely blissful and happy. At that time, bhagavad bhakti yogadah, he engages in devotional service and mukta sangasya jayate, he becomes liberated. So hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam is so important, so important. Just like we see that in this case of Ajamil, when he chanted the holy name of the Lord, he became free from the sins. And then when he hears the Bhagavad Katha spoken by the Vishnu Dutas to the Yamadutas, his heart becomes transformed. And at that time he realizes that, oh, what a great blunder I have done. So we see this transformation in Ajamil because of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by the Vishnu Dutas to the Yamadutas. And with that, the transformation came about. So that eagerness to hear is very important. And it is explained that one who is given knowledge, when one receives that knowledge, one has to also give. A worthy person is a person who gets that knowledge and then distributes it. Prabhupada writes in this 10th canto, where Krishna, when he appears in the womb of Devaki, she was appearing very effulgent. So acharyas give the example that just like the fire in a house cannot light up the city, but when the fire becomes very powerful, it can burn down the house and the whole city will see. So similarly, it is compared that she was appearing just like a knowledge given to an unworthy person. When knowledge is given to an unworthy person, then he does not distribute it, he keeps it to himself. But that same knowledge becomes a cause of his destruction. So Prabhupada writes that how India had the responsibility of distributing Vedic knowledge, but because they didn't distribute it, we see today's India's condition. They are not materially also that advanced, and neither spiritually. So therefore Prabhupada writes that responsibility of distributing is taken up by ISKCON, where we are following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of Jare Dekho Tare Kaho Krishna Updesh, that whomever you see, spread the message of Lord Vasudev. Krishna Updesh, that is the prime responsibility of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and distributing the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is what we can understand from this pastime of Ajamil, that how he was purified by hearing Bhagavat Katha. Hare Krishna, so I'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.